your host for today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Shaman Elder Maggie Walls. She's the author of The Shaman Speaks, How to Use the Power of Shamanism to Heal Your Life. Her book gives a lot of answers to the most frequently asked questions, and today we're actually going to have an opportunity to listen to some of those answers. And I actually had a pleasure of reading Shaman Maggie's book, so it even gives me a great pleasure to actually be speaking to her today. So stay tuned, because you'll really get to know her and to hear about what true shamanism really is and why we as non-shamans should study it. But first, a little bit about Shaman Maggie. Shaman Elder Maggie Walls is a traditional indigenous shaman who has actually been practicing shamanism for over 50 years. She began her apprenticeship at the knee of her grandmother at the age of 3. Wow. Her lineage has been handed down from grandmother to granddaughter for over 400 years, tracing its lines back to the country of Ukraine. Over a 10-year period until her grandmother's crossing over, Shaman Maggie learned that the traditional ways of working with spirit, energy, and matter to create healing. She accomplished her first healing at the age of 5 and took her first journey at the age of 10. The skills and abilities to do the shamanic healing were given to her in a very loving way. She was taught that love is the key to walking the shamanic path. Shaman Maggie is one of America's most beloved teachers of traditional shamanism. She lives with her two beloved canine friends on sacred healing land called Life Healing Community, located in the Missouri Ozarks. Hi, Shaman Maggie.
Hello. How are you, Irene?
I'm doing good. I'm really glad to be talking to you, and I know that our listeners are going to be really interested in what we are going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think before we go any further, what is shamanism? Well, let's just get that right out in front.
To me, shamanism is a way of life, and I think that the people that are called to shamanism have probably been a shaman in a previous lifetime. A shaman is a warrior, a shaman is a priest, a shaman is a mage, a shaman is, some call, a sorcerer. And the purpose of a shaman is to bring healing and protection to their community, to their tribe, to their group of people. I think even from ancient times, the shaman was sort of the one that the people of the community employed to keep them safe, to protect them, to make sure the crops grew, to provide the rain, to heal the people from whatever illnesses they may have, and even to warn the people that the enemy tribe was on their way, you know. So the shaman was a very, very important person in each ancient community. And the shaman was actually paid by that community to do the work, paid in terms of perhaps the best pair of moccasins or the best teepee or the best shelter or the best blankets or certainly food. So the shaman was actually supported in return for the work the shaman did for the community. I like to bring that up because a lot of people think that shamans shouldn't be paid, and the truth is shamans have always been paid. But it certainly could be, like with my grandmother who taught me shamanism, it could certainly be she would take a dozen eggs or
right.
a loaf of bread, or it doesn't mean it has to be paid in money by any means.
But there's some type of an exchange that happens.
Yes, always has been there in shamanism, always. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned your grandmother, and I'm just, it, what really fascinates me is that this traces back to the country of Ukraine, and what's interesting is that that's where my ancestors are from also.
Oh, really? When did they come over to the New World?
They came to the New World in the early 1900s.
Yes, and that was during a period when the government decided they didn't need many of their people, so they decided to starve the people.
That's right.
And that's really how my grandmother got here. Her parents, her family where they lived, were being starved, and they knew mm-hmm. that the way of shamanism that has been handed down in my lineage for over 4,000 years, they knew that that was going to end because their whole family was going to get wiped out by starvation. And so they took what little money they had, and they also took the money that they were receiving as, you know, her grandmother was a practicing shaman.
Mm-hmm.
And so her grandmother took the money that she earned practicing shamanism, and they bought a ticket for my grandmother on an immigrant ship to New York City in the bottom steerage. Took 30 days to get here. I can't imagine putting your 12-year-old daughter, kissing her goodbye and putting her on a boat to go someplace you've never seen, you've only heard about, and to never see her again. I cannot imagine doing that, and yet that is what her parents did. And they did it not only to save her, but to save the lineage of the family shamanism as well.
Wow.
And she was actually practicing her shamanic skills right there on the boat for the people that were getting sick and for the depression and the sadness that other people were experiencing. And she eventually found her way to Rochester, New York, where she was able to live in a... She got married to a fellow who was also an immigrant from the Ukraine, my grandfather, and she practiced shamanism in the inner city back in the days of the 40s and 50s. There was a Polish neighborhood and a Ukrainian neighborhood and a Jewish neighborhood, and she lived in the center of all of that. And all of those immigrants understood the value of a shaman, and they would come to her, even though it wasn't their culture. There was a practicing shaman, and they would come to her house, and I was a little kid and watching, and they would line up in front of her house, and one had a dozen eggs, and one had a bottle of vodka. Everybody had the thing they were going to trade, and they would come into her house one by one and sit in a chair across from her, and she would listen to them. It didn't matter if they were speaking Italian or German. I mean, it was really amazing. My grandmother seemed to understand all these languages. And everybody's broken English. And she would listen to them with one ear, and she'd be listening to something else with her other ear, which, of course, in my mind is creator or her guides.
Right.
And then in the middle of their conversation, as they poured their hearts out and told her what they really needed, she would just stop them, give them the answer from creator. They would say thank you and give her their trade, their eggs, their butter, their cheese, and go. And this line continued outside of her house all day, every weekday, all my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Great story. My mother spoke of her grandmother, but there was some fear around there. And, you know, now what I do know is that she was a shaman in her village, but my mother came out of that with a lot of fear.
And you know what? In Ukrainian shamanism, it skips a generation. My mother also feared her mother. My mother was afraid of my grandmother's work. When my grandmother died when I was 16 and they were disposing of my grandmother's items after the funeral, my grandmother had this beautiful crystal ball that, as a little kid when I was 4 or 5 and bored out of my gourd, you know, waiting for grandma to finish work, I would stare into it and I would see movies. I would see three-dimensional movies in this thing. It was a wonderful entertainment toy for a six-year-old, you know. But I wanted that when my grandmother died. And my mother just refused to give me anything that belonged to my grandmother, anything shamanic. She was so afraid that she disposed of everything that had any idea of shamanism about it, which is really sad that I wasn't able to get that from my grandmother or anything.
Isn't that interesting? Because that's what happened also in this case. And then, you know, in my personal case, I became the healer.
Yes.
The shaman.
The granddaughter.
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting. So, Shaman Maggie, why would somebody actually study shamanism? Or, you know, just no, I want to retract and say, you know, is it a study or is it just one of those innate things that happens and you get this feeling or the knowing that I am a shaman?
Actually, you need to study and you need to have a mentor. And I'll tell you why, because shamanism is very, very powerful and very, very dangerous. And in fact, once you get deeper into shamanism, it can be lethal. And so it's really, really important to have a sincere, traditional, true shaman to walk with, to show you the way, to keep you safe. I actually use my own life force energy to place a net between my students and the world. First, to protect them from the world or anything that might come from the world to them, but also to protect the world from any mistakes they may make, you know, so that they're not harming the world as they're practicing and learning. And I use my own life force energy to do this for them, which, of course, means that I'm shortening my own life with every student that I take on. But I find it so important to hold this net underneath them until they're strong enough, until the student becomes strong enough that they don't need this net anymore. I hope that each of my students becomes stronger than I am. I hope that I'm a good enough teacher that I can imbue upon them the proper ways and the safe ways to work with this power to bring healing into the world, that they can become an even better shaman than I am.
Now, you use the term true shaman. So what really is a true shaman?
To me, a true shaman is someone that has a lineage in their own family. The material that I teach in my course is the same material that has been handed down from grandmother to granddaughter for as far back as we can trace it, and we believe it goes back as far as 4,000 years. This information has been handed down by word of mouth and example, because we've each studied directly under one of our elders all the way through. So this, to me, is true shamanism. It has not changed. It has not altered. It hasn't been fed from the outside with other things that distort it or adulterate it. And so this, to me, is a line of true shamanism. There are many books written by people who have ideas about shamanism, but I wouldn't call that true shamanism. There's a kind of shamanism that's called neo-shamanism. It's written by people that have no lineage, people that have not really studied with any traditional shaman. And to me, that's just a distortion. I think of the game Telephone or Grapevine, where information is whispered in the next guy's ear, and by the time you get to the end of the line, you don't even know what it is anymore. And I certainly would prefer that someone who wants to study shamanism would study from a traditional shaman who actually has been taught by another shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Does that explain it?
It sure does. And as you're talking, too, it came to mind that I know that a lot of people believe that shamanism is an American Indian. It comes from the Indian American lineage and culture, but that is not the case.
No, in fact, in the Native American traditions, and it doesn't matter which tribe you're talking about, none of them use the word shaman. They use the words medicine men and medicine woman.
Mm-hmm.
That it is a healer, okay, and they do work for their tribe, much as a shaman does, but any true medicine man would be insulted to be called a shaman. Isn't that interesting?
Really?
So when you see someone saying, I'm a Native American shaman, you have to let the bells and whistles go off on that, because there's no true Native American healer who would call themselves a shaman.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. You talked about needing this mentor, and let's just talk about what a mentor would really do for, let's say, I wanted to study shamanism, and if I chose you to be my mentor.
Right.
What kind of a relationship would we have? What process do I have to go through with you?
Yes, I do offer a course in shamanism, and the 101 course that I offer is for anyone who's even interested in studying shamanism. I don't ask you to become a shaman. You don't have to commit to anything, but you do get a wonderful chance to study with me and learn 20 tools and skills that were handed down to me that you can use to heal yourself and others. So there's no commitment, there's no dedication on your part, but certainly a wonderful relationship between us would grow. I teach through emails, I teach through email correspondence, and so we daily would form this dialogue, daily or twice weekly, whatever time you had, to form a dialogue together through our emails. And we discuss each one of the lessons and each one of the tools, and I nurture you and point you in the right direction and show you other ways to use the tool. And, you know, studying shamanism is truly unique to each person. So although I have lessons that I can share with you, it's really in our dialogue through email correspondence that it becomes yours. So I have a very intimate relationship with each one of my students. I also invite them to come and visit me and live with me for a week and walk the path with me in an experiential way. And everyone really loves that and learns a lot in that week together.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Shaman Elder Maggie Walls. She is the author of A Shaman Speaks. And if you have heard so far, Shaman Maggie is speaking to us and allowing us to understand what true shamanism really is. And hey, at the same time, encouraging us to delve into our inner being to discover the shaman within ourselves. So please stay tuned because there is more. And oh, by the way, her website address is shamanelder.com. So what I just heard you say also that this isn't necessarily, the study is not necessarily to become a shaman and to help others, but really it could be geared for helping oneself.
Oh, I believe that in order to be a healer in this world, you have to first heal yourself. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I do offer continuing courses for those who do decide to dedicate themselves to walking this particular path. And if that is the case for someone, then I certainly would teach them everything that I was taught by my grandmother and expect them to carry on the tradition just as if they were my grandchild. Mm-hmm. So that way we can keep these teachings true and pure and whole.
So, Shaman Maggie, how much time or, commitment, what does one really have to do to just make that inner transition and to go to the path of shamanism?
I think that shamanism is a way of life. And the course that I teach, the lessons that I offer, are meant to be practiced as you go through your day. I think that we're all very busy people. I think that society has made us busy. We're all trying to do two jobs for one paycheck, and it's life is just rushing by. So I have created these lessons, and I think that they should be used and practiced within your daily life. As you go through your day, you have the opportunity to practice shamanism 24/7, and that is the way to learn shamanism, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't ask people to set aside 2 hours a day to sit down and read something. Not at all. I give them very simple and specific experiences to have. And from that experience, I'm setting up one of the tools or skills of shamanism for them to actually have first-person experience with. And from that experience, then, it's up to you to decide what you believe or what you don't want to believe, what you want to adopt and what you don't want to adopt. I am not here to make you believe as I believe. I am here to set up an experience for you to gain a new perspective in your life. And what you do with that perspective is totally your free will choice.
That choice is great.
Yes.
Choices.
Choices are great.
We have choices.
I love choices.
Too. And you know what? They're always the right choice.
If you listen to your higher self, which, is the little core inside you that, is connected to Creator, absolutely. That's another thing I would love to talk about is the fact that the true traditional shaman gives all the credit for healing to Creator, whatever they call Creator in their culture, Source or God or whatever they term Creator. But every shaman, every true traditional shaman will give all credit to Creator. They never take credit for healing for themselves. This is one of the earmarks of a true traditional shaman.
Basically, you become a conduit.
Absolutely. You become the assistant of Creator, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I so understand that. Now, I understand also that with shamanism, there are guides, there are spirits that are also to be tapped into.
Yes. And I think that we all also know that we have some guide, some angel, some helper. I think that each of us, really, if you asked and were honest, they would all say that they know that they have some kind of angel, some kind of guide, whatever they want to call it. But yes, we all do. Creator didn't send us here to this sometimes dangerous world without help. You know, so Creator gave us angels, guides, whatever you'd like to call them, who volunteered to come with us. Now, in shamanism, we feel that we have a guide who's a teacher, and the teacher is here to teach us what we need to learn to have a beautiful, happy life in this world, to learn how to avoid conflict and how to release ourselves from struggle. So in shamanism, we have a particular guide, one, two, or more, who are here to teach us how to live without conflict, without struggle, how to live the best life, how to stay protected. And in my mind, that guide is teaching us warriorship, because the world is kind of a hard place to live if you don't know, if you don't have the information and you don't have the skills. And who taught us the information and the skills? Nobody. So it's wonderful that we have these guides who, if we can just sit down and be aware and be balanced, they can teach us. They can be our teachers.
And they're there, and, you know, their purpose is to come here and help us, teach us.
That's right.
And all we have to do is take the responsibility of tapping in.
Right. And the first two lessons in the 101 course, in the introductory course, are awareness and balance. Mm-hmm. So by lesson three, I already have you connected to your guides.
Shaman Maggie, these guides, I know that there are some listeners are wondering, are they the same ones that stay with us throughout our whole lifetime, or do they pass through, teach us whatever we need to learn at that time, and they move on?
They've been with us all our lives.
And other lives, too?
Now, that I can't say. But, yes, they've been with us all this life.
And when do they appear?
Whenever you're ready to see them.
Uh-huh.
But you have to achieve a certain level of awareness. You have to be aware and open to see them. I mean, we can't sit around with blindfolds on and ask how come we can't see them. And then the second part of that is you have to be balanced. And balance means balanced in your four-body system, balanced physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That is your four-body system. And you can almost see a medicine wheel in that. And when you stand in the center of that and you are balanced, that is when your guides can approach you. Your guides will not ever do anything against your free will choice. So if you choose not to see them, you will not see them. If you choose not to listen to them, you will not listen to them. So they will never, ever violate your free will choice. But it's really not that hard to find your balance and think, I would like to meet my guides today. And they'll be there.
I know. Isn't it great?
Yes.
And so what I want to know is, in your term, you use balanced, you know, in all aspects.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know, or what constitutes balance?
And I have a wonderful exercise right there in lesson 2.
You have it for everything, don't you?
And it's one, again, that you carry through your day, and you pay attention to those four bodies, and I show you how to measure the four-body balance, and you. This lesson, too, changes people's lives immediately. All of a sudden, they're freer, they're more balanced, they're calmer, they're happier. It really lets you become the captain of your own ship when you can consciously control your balance. You become the captain. Those four elements become your crew members, and you can put your rudder in the water and go in any direction you want to go in.
Wow, that is so comforting to know. And so I'm wondering, how do we deal with those days? You know, those days when you get up in the morning and, darn it, anyway, nothing is going right, and, you know, you spill this or you trip over this, or, you know, we both have dogs and the dog has an accident and we're in a hurry and, you know, life is going by so fast and I didn't get all these things done. And
yes.
Okay, on and on and on. I could go on and on.
There we go.
So those days,
yeah.
How do we handle that? How do we get back into that balance?
It's so simple. It's so simple, Irene. And you know what? Everything from Creator is really simple and easy. It's man who makes things difficult. So the answer to your question is an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
If we just think about being grateful to Creator for every little thing that happens in our day, even if the dogs have an accident, let's express an attitude of gratitude. And that will pull you right into balance. It will connect you immediately to your spiritual self. If you can walk through your day giving thanks to Creator for all of the good things you see around you and all the good things you experience, you will find yourself sitting in the lap of Creator. And what a beautiful place to be.
And you are so right. It's us as humans,
yeah,
that get so in the way. And, you know, and then what happens is for some reason, this attitude gets us to a place that we think we're the creator.
Yes. Yep. But yeah. if we keep an attitude of gratitude, we'll not go there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And for me, that's a lifelong venture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always have to stop myself, and it's like, okay, breathe.
Yeah.
Be grateful. Find something. You know, the dog had an accident this morning because I was listening, and it's like, okay, it's okay. You just wipe it up.
Another thing that the shaman knows that people aren't taught, in fact, people are not taught this on purpose, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is that everything around us is alive, is sentient, is thinking, is having a life experience of its own. That tree is alive, sentient, thinking, feeling, having a life experience of its own. And it's just as, actually, it's more connected to Creator than I am, because I was taught by my parents that I'm separate from Creator.
Mm-hmm.
I was given an ego that makes me want to stay separate from Creator, but that tree doesn't have an ego, and it's never been separate from Creator. It's always been in unity with Creator. So when I look at that tree, I see more of an example of what I should try to be, rather than seeing myself as superior to the tree. I see the tree as being equal or perhaps a little superior to me. And when you start looking at life from this perspective, that the tree is a teacher, and the mountain is a teacher, and the river is a teacher, and the cloud is a teacher, you get pretty small.
Right.
That ego tends to go down, down, down. So I think that this is another thing that a shaman really knows and understands and lives a life of community and unity with everything around us. That should be, again, brought back into the world and supported and nourished.
And so it's really important that we, as students, choose a shaman that actually is very pure and centered and balanced and doesn't have that stuff in the way.
And isn't saying to you, do what I say, not what I do. You know, the fourth truth in shamanism, there are four truths
mm-hmm.
that all shamans across time in the world have in common. And the fourth one says, it is what you do that defines you.
Yeah.
Not what you say, not what you write, not what you think, but how do you live your life? I think that's the best way to find yourself a good shaman mentor, is to look at what that person does in their own life, how they live their own life. On my website, I have a whole page of what people had to say about me.
Mm-hmm.
People that I've worked with, were they happy? Were they satisfied? Did they feel that I walked my path? And I think that every healer, no matter what kind of healing you offer, should have a page like that on their website so that I can see what they do. According to other people, I can see what they do that would define them as a healer or not. If they're not walking the path, they wouldn't be able to put a page like that on their website.
Exactly. Or have a following either.
Yes.
You know, because let's face it, if the shaman chooses to put themselves in the place of the creator, it's not going to work.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way.
No. In fact, they usually end up getting hurt. They end up getting sick.
Yeah.
And in some way or form, their business collapses. Yeah. And I'm totally dependent upon Creator. I have been for the last 10 years. I totally survived simply on the course fees and donations from people. That's my whole income. And I'm still doing great. So.
You know, that's because you have purity of intent.
I think so, and my intent is to, as you said, to be a helper for Creator, and that's
mm-hmm.
it, you know? I'm the assistant of Creator, I'm the conduit, perhaps you want to call it conduit, of Creator's healing,
mm-hmm.
and that's my intention, and Creator rewards me for that with my needs.
Beautiful place to be in, isn't it?
It's a place of tremendous faith in Creator.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think too many people would be willing to give up a paycheck and just depend upon Creator to reward them for their spiritual work. It takes a lot of faith.
It does.
And if I doubt for 1 second, it'll be gone.
Isn't it true? It's like that in all aspects of life, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is. And quite often you mention your website address, so please tell our listening audience your website address.
Certainly. It's www.shamanelder.com. Shamanelder.com, if they call me, Shaman Elder Maggie Walls.
Mm-hmm. Great. Gosh, Shaman Maggie, thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure talking to you, and I know that our listening audience are just going to kind of sit back and look at their own lives and seek that place within and see if there is that shaman that maybe they themselves can find that path to shamanism or find a shaman to help them create the path that they're on and make it a place of balance.
I would love to help anyone that's interested, and I do work one-on-one with each person I encounter.
That's wonderful. Thanks again.
Oh, you're welcome, Irene. Thank you so much. This has been delightful.
And it's been a real delightful for me, too. There you go, listeners. It's been great, isn't it? Shaman Elder Maggie Walls. In her book, The Shaman Speaks, How to Use the Power of Shamanism to Heal Your Life Now. Thanks for listening. This is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop 5. Bye for now.